The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I want to be in the light as you are in the light. I want to shine like the stars in the heaven.
Welcome to A Passion for Christ, a heart-to-heart conversation with pastors called to build the kingdom of God here in Southern California.
All I want is to be in the light.
Welcome to A Passion for Christ. I'm your host, Donna Rush. If you've ever wondered about Israel and its importance to us as Christians, you will not want to miss today's program. My guest has written a book called Israel Always, and he also hosts a radio program, Friends of Israel Today. It's heard here on 99.5 KKLA on Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. Please welcome Chris Katulka. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Donna. How are you?
I'm great. So glad that we're able to have this conversation today. I think it's going to just shed so much light and answer so many questions that we all have about Israel and its importance to the world and importance to Christianity. Now, you are also the director of North American Ministries with the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. Would you share with me what this ministry is all about?
Yeah, Friends of Israel was actually founded in 1938. Christian businessmen, women, and pastors in the Philadelphia area, where I'm from, got together in 1938 because they saw what was happening to Jewish people during the Holocaust. Mm. And people weren't doing anything, Donna. America wasn't doing anything yet. And these Christians felt compelled by the scriptures to help the Jewish people, especially after what they saw in 1938 with Kristallnacht, the night of the broken glass. And they started raising funds to help Jewish people, the beleaguered Jewish people, find liberation into England and then maybe even into the United States. And that's when our very first executive director, a Jewish believer in the Lord Jesus, a man named Victor Buxbazin, would go up and help those Jewish people who were coming to America, providing them with clothes, food, and also the hope that's only found in Jesus, the Messiah. And so that's the origins of the Friends of Israel. And today what I get a chance to do is oversee all the outreach efforts that we have here in the United States and in Canada. We have a fantastic team serving all throughout, from LA all the way to Philadelphia, all throughout the United States and in Canada, teaching the scriptures, the truth about Israel and the Jewish people from the scriptures, and also engaging with the Jewish community to let them know that there are Christians who love and support them and stand up against anti-Semitism.
Wonderful. That's really great to hear, especially since we've really had some pretty difficult days here. Get a couple of Jewish men recently shot coming outside of their synagogues, and they were okay. They're recovering, but that person was just arrested as a result of that for a hate crime, just randomly seeking out Jewish men coming out of their synagogue. So it's still going on, and just we need to stand up for them. Now, your book, Israel Always, it's a book about Israel's past, present, and future. Now, can you share with us the section of the book that really looks at what's happening in Israel today and how that connects to what we're seeing in the news?
Yeah. So in the section that I talk about in Israel Always for today, what you can see in Israel today, I actually mention Israeli politics. And Donna, I don't know if you've kept up with much of international news, but Israel has gone to elections something like 5 times in 4 years, which is just an unprecedented a situation. And so recently, Benjamin Netanyahu became prime minister once again after being ousted, a little more than a year ago. And so he's back as prime minister. And, in the book, I deal with, what are the politics of Israel? How does the government function? It's called the Knesset. How do you wrap your mind around the way that they do politics in Israel, and even what we're seeing today with Netanyahu and his new government? There is a reforms that are going on with their Supreme Court, and a lot of what I write about in the book will help a reader understand better the Supreme Court, how it interacts with the legislation of Israel and the Prime Minister's office, all of these things. You know, it's a lot different than the way that we do things in America. And so, you know, when you see what's going on politically in the Middle East and specifically in Israel, the book will help bring some clarity, because oftentimes it can actually be pretty confusing, especially when we think about it in the terms of the way we do politics in America.
Why is it important that we do understand that?
You know, because I actually think God has made Jerusalem the center of the world in many ways. It says that in Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 5. And so it's important. It always is amazing to me that this tiny country, it's only the size of New Jersey, Donna, you know, it has 9 million people, and yet somehow it always seems to make international news, front page news, and even to the point where our administration, our presidential administration, the Biden administration, is looking over there and saying, we don't like what's going on politically in this tiny little country the size of New Jersey.
Right.
So it's important to see and understand, I believe, what's going on politically in Israel, because actually, if you read through the Bible, God used the politics of the world to drive his plan. And so I don't think God is absent of what's going on in the Middle East right now, specifically in Israel. And so that's why I think it's really important for us to see and have some understanding of what's going on in Israel politically.
Now, you are not, Chris, you're not Jewish, right? Why did you choose to write a book about Israel and the Jewish people?
I love that question. You know, so many years ago when I was 20, I did my freshman year in college, I should say, when I was 18, I did a program called the Institute of Jewish Studies. Mm-hmm. And I only did it because my best friend was doing it and I would get more credits to go to the college I wanted to go to. It was just it was an interesting thing to do. Mm-hmm. And so that year, though, God grabbed my heart and taught me something. The Bible that we read, Donna, is Jewish through and through, from Genesis to Revelation.
Yeah.
You know, the apostles, Jesus himself, the prophets, all of them are Jewish.
Yep.
Even the feast that Jesus celebrated, he didn't celebrate Christmas and Easter because that would be awkward. He celebrated, you know, Yom Kippur and Hanukkah and Passover. So I really started to understand that when you read your Bible from a Jewish perspective, I actually think it deepens your relationship with the Lord Jesus. And so I've been on a mission ever since to connect people to not only what's going on in Israel today, but how God is using the Jewish people to bring blessing to all the families of the earth. And so that's what the scriptures say in Genesis chapter 12. And so that's been a passion of mine for 20 years now.
And, you know, it's so interesting that you said that. I have a friend who's a rabbi, and he was telling me, you know, he's a believer Jesus is Yahweh as the Messiah. And when he first learned that, he also was a teenager, and someone gave him a Bible and said, hey, I'd love to read the Torah. Would you read my Bible? And he was like, oh, sure. So he said he got under the covers at home with his flashlight because it wasn't really allowed in his house. And he said his first thoughts were, this book is so Jewish. You know, that was what surprised him. He did not expect that when he started reading the New Testament. He was like, wow, it never occurred to him.
Yep.
Yeah. So.
You know, we do this great ministry at Friends of Israel called a Hanukkah Basket Ministry, where Christians go to their Jewish friends to say Happy Hanukkah. Normally it's Merry Christmas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they hear Merry Christmas all the time. And so we do a Hanukkah Basket Ministry. And one of our friends in the Atlanta area delivered a Hanukkah basket to a rabbi just to say Happy Hanukkah. And he was trying to connect the dots. And my friend said to the rabbi, he goes, you know, Jesus celebrated Hanukkah. He goes, no, he didn't. And he said, yes, check out John chapter 10. And he read it, you know, just to make those connections again. It's really important to see the Jewishness of the scriptures.
It really is. God called the Jewish people his chosen people. So how is this really at the heartbeat of the story of the Jewish people?
Yeah, God gave the Jewish people, going back to Genesis chapter 12, as I mentioned earlier, a mission. And it involved a promise and a covenant that God would use them. And so first he promised them a land, which is the land of Israel in Genesis chapter 12. And then God promised Abraham descendants that would become a nation, which are the Jewish people. But then he gave them kind of a divine mission that sets them apart from everybody else. And he said, Abraham, through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Mm-hmm. And that becomes the heartbeat of, I believe, not just for the Jewish people, the fact that they were chosen to bring the message of salvation into the world. Again, we were talking earlier about the fact that Jesus is Jewish. you know, he is coming in the lineage of Abraham. When you open up Matthew chapter 1, verse 1, it says that Jesus came from the lineage of Abraham and David, two key figures in the Old Testament that were leading the way for the coming of the Messiah. And so when you think about those things and you put them together, you see that really the chosenness of the Jewish people is the heartbeat of their story. And I would even connect to us as Christians and say it connects to us as well, that the faith of Abraham, him stepping out in faith and going and walking to a land he didn't know and trusting in God and accepting the promise and making a covenant with him, really, we're connected to that because it says, through you, Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And here we are talking about Jesus, the Jewish Messiah, all because of what Abraham did by stepping out in faith. And he really has blessed all the families of the earth. So that is really the heartbeat of the Jewish story. It's the heartbeat of the scriptures as well.
Mm-hmm. And who do you have in mind that would benefit from reading this book, and why would they benefit?
I have three people in mind. The first is this. Donna, I don't know if you've ever been to the Holy Land before.
Well, you know what? But it's interesting that you ask, because my husband and I have plans to go this coming year for the very first time. And I'm so excited.
Good, good.
Yes, we're going with a group from my church. My pastor's taking a group. And so it's very exciting. So when I saw this about your book and all of that, I thought, this is great. I need to talk with you, and we're going to have you on.
That's great. Yeah, then this book will be perfect for you.
Yes.
Because what it will do, when you go to Israel, Donna, you're going to – it's like a fire hydrant. I don't know if you've ever heard that before, but you're just standing in a place where there's 5,000 years of history.
Yeah.
And you have to take it all in somehow. You know what I mean? One minute they're talking about a Canaanite altar, and the next minute they're talking about a battle that the modern state of Israel fought in 1948 right under your feet. And so you're trying to put all those pieces together. And Israel always is a great book for somebody who's traveling to Israel, making a pilgrimage for the first time, and preparing them so that they don't feel overwhelmed, that they can walk to a site and feel like they're prepared to enter that site and to know what's coming. That's the first person. The second person actually might be the person who was overwhelmed when they came home from the Holy Land. They go, I need to recap what happened there. So that's a great book for that as well. And then also, I wrote the book so that it shows the continuity of God's faithfulness, because sometimes what we can do is we can separate the Israel of the Old Testament, the modern state of Israel today, and in the future Israel that's coming according to what the scriptures teach. You know, we can separate them, but really I've always seen them as God's long continuity of his providential plan for his people. And so that's why we smash the book all into one big picture, past, present, future, so that when you start the book and you end the book, you go, man, God is so faithful. And if he can be faithful to Israel and uphold his promises to Israel, I should be confident that he'll uphold his promises to me as a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus. So that's the other reason I wanted to write it as well, for a believer to feel confident in God's faithfulness.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm looking forward to reading this book before I go, and then probably like delving into it afterwards, going, wait, what? What? Remembering everything. Yes, yes. My pastor is going to do a big thing for us all to prepare us, though, like a week-long kind of a course with us before we go, to kind of prepare us, too. Maybe this will be a good supplement.
You're blessed to have a pastor like that.
Yes, yes. He likes to call himself that he's like a he says, I nerd out on this. Those were his words.
Yeah.
He just loves it.
That's great. That is fantastic.
Yes. If you are just joining us, you are listening to A Passion for Christ. I'm your host, Donna Rush, and we are speaking with Chris Kotulka. He is author of the book Israel Always. He also hosts Friends of Israel Today, which is heard each Sunday at 2 p.m. right here on 99.5 KKLA. He's currently the director of North American Ministries for the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. All right. So, Chris, I understand that this book is even endorsed by a seasoned Israeli tour guide. That's a big deal to be a tour guide there. They take that very seriously. Like, you don't just get anybody who's going to come and give you these tours in Israel. They take it very seriously. So share with me why that's so important.
Yeah, I wanted to get my good friend Tito Andijar, who is been leading tours for 40 years in Israel. You know, everybody has the best tour guide when you go on an Israeli tour, but I can be confident to let you know, I definitely have the best tour guide. His name's Tito. And, you know, I asked Tito to read it because, you know, it's one thing to write a book about Israel, especially the Israel of today, you know, and from here in America, and to say, hey, you know, this is what's going on over there from an American perspective. But I wanted somebody to be able to give the thumbs up, the approval to say, hey, what you're reading is good information about what's going on in Israel today and the past and the future. And so Tito is just got such a wealth of information and knowledge. And like you were saying, Donna, you can't just be, I'm going to be a tour guide today. You know, you can't do that. You have to go through extensive training, and you have to continually take courses to catch up on the archaeology and on the situation on the ground and how to lead people, the changing dynamics of Jerusalem and all the areas, the politics of the day. People ask Donna, when you go on a trip, you'll get on a bus and people ask the funniest questions. They'll see a plant and go, "What plant is that?" And you know, a tour guide, an Israeli tour guide, has to be ready with that answer. So Tito is always ready, and he's kind and he's gentle and he's very informative. So getting Tito's approval for this book, just for anybody going on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land like you're going to be doing soon, just made me feel confident in knowing if he approves it, then that means it will definitely help people in their journey to the Holy Land.
I have to ask you, when did you first go to the Holy Land, and what was that like for you? How did that transform your life? Did you ever think that that would be kind of what would almost define, I guess, your mission here?
Yeah, you know, I went the very first time in 2004. I was supposed to go in 2000, but the Intifada prevented us from doing that. So we did a Journey of Paul's tour through Turkey and Rome and Greece, and that was fantastic too in 2000. But in 2004, the moment it became available to go back to the Holy Land, I went with the Friends of Israel. And when I went over there, Donna, it just, what happens is it opens your eyes to what's going on in the scriptures. It's not that I think people read the scriptures and they think that these are like mythical places that you read about, you know, in Lord of the Rings or something. Like, we know they're real.
Yes.
But you just can't get your mind connected to the location. You can dream about it as much as you can, or, you know, kind of put a picture to the stories that you're reading and the accounts that you're reading. But it's not until you get over there that it just shocks you to think, this is the Sea of Galilee. Like, what I am looking at right now is exactly what Jesus saw for 70% of his ministry being up in the Galilee region. Yeah. Or stepping into a town like Capernaum that archaeologists have dug up and knowing that Jesus more than likely preached in the synagogue that you are walking through in that moment. Just is an eye-opening, humbling experience to know that I'm a part of a long chain of people that have been doing pilgrimages that go back to even the second and third century AD. We're talking almost 2,000 years ago. People have been doing pilgrimages to the Holy Land. And you're just, we're in this long lineage of people that want to see where Jesus walked, the accounts of the Bible revealed before us from the Old Testament to the New Testament, and giving us a deeper appreciation of the scriptures as well. So I honestly, that was my big takeaway the first time I came, and I said, I have to do this again. And I've been doing it ever since. So the Lord's been gracious.
And when you go back, is it different each time? Or
I'm telling you, it is different every time because archaeologists don't stop. So, you know, when you go over, I hope you go through the rabbi's tunnels on the western wall of the Temple Mount. You know, when I started going through the rabbi's tunnels years ago, you would walk in one way, but then the archaeologists would find something. So they'd have to, you know, alter the way that you enter in, or maybe they'd start digging up another section of Jerusalem. And so honestly, even just recently, I was in Jerusalem back in December and walked down the Pilgrim's Road that the pilgrims of Jesus's day would have walked from the Pool of Siloam up to the Temple Mount. And archaeologists have just uncovered that. Wow. And you'll be able to walk from the Pool of Siloam all the way up to the Temple Mount, which has been buried under rubble for 2,000 years. And archaeologists are just uncovering that. New things are happening all the time all around Israel when it comes to uncovering the scriptures in the land itself.
Okay. Well, you're making me more and more excited about this upcoming trip, I have to say.
Good. I'm excited you're going.
Thank you. Me too. Okay. So let's talk about the future of Israel, this part of your book. What do you focus on there? What do you see?
Yeah. You know, there is a future for Israel. You know, the reason that there is an Israel today should the fact that you could open up your newspaper, Donna, and see Israel on the front page, it should just honestly, as a Christian, blow our minds. You know, people come up to me and they say, Chris, is Jesus coming back soon? And I say, I don't know. That's not what God wants us to be thinking about right now. But I will tell you this. It's that Israel is back in the land according to what the prophets had promised. Mm. And we are living in a time that church history has never seen for 2,000 years. And here we are. You're about to fly over to the Holy Land. And I've, you know, go over. And that is just one of those things where you think about the fact that the Jewish people were kicked out of the land 2,000 years ago, spread throughout the world, faced numerous eras of persecution in that 2,000 years, even to the point where Adolf Hitler wanted to systematically murder all of the Jewish people. 6 million Jewish people died. Yeah. And yet here we are. They're back in their land. How is that possible? It's possible because the prophet said, Ezekiel chapter 36 and chapter 37, he said that dry bones will live again. God is forming the dry bones, all these dry bones Ezekiel sees. And all of a sudden, God says these dry bones will live again. And the dry bones are the house of Israel. And he's going to put each bone back together. And then he's going to put muscles on the bones and then skin on the bones. And then at the very end, he's going to breathe life into that. Into that a lifeless body that's standing there. And the God says to Ezekiel, this is the house, the whole house of Israel, and I am rebuilding them. I'm going to bring them back to the land. And so what we're seeing in front of us right now, as you know, we go about our daily life, is that God is working by bringing Jewish people back to the land. And I'll tell you something, if you go to 1948, when Israel became a nation, Donna, most of the Jewish people lived in Europe at that time. There were barely any people in the Holy Land, any Jewish people. Now the majority of Jewish people, just 75 years later, the majority of Jewish people in the world live in Israel. And the rest live in the United States and scattered in other places around the world. But that should open our eyes. In just 75 years, the migration moved from all these other places around the world, right to where God wanted to bring his people back to. God is doing a work that we cannot ignore as Christians. And so that's why he has a bright future for them that's connected to the story of Jesus's return and his promise and his hope to come back. And so there's just a lot of exciting things happening there.
It is. So the next time we pick up that newspaper or whatever, get our news from wherever we get that, right? That's an exciting thing to see. See Israel in the news and see everything that is going on. What are you hoping readers will just take away from reading Israel Always?
You know, I think I had mentioned it before, but I'll bring it up again because it's never too tiring. It's that God is faithful. And that, you know, here we are again. You know, we were just talking about the fact that God is returning the Jewish people to the land. And you know what he says in Ezekiel 36? He says, I'm not doing this because of your righteousness, Israel. I'm doing this because I'm going to uphold my holy name, my holy reputation. You don't deserve to go back to the land, but I'm doing it because I made a promise and a covenant that I can't break. And because of that, I will see that covenant fulfilled when I return you to the land. And he says, that's the reason I'm going to act. And I just think to myself, you know what? It's not because of what Chris has done or even what Donna's done. You know, it's not anything. We don't deserve anything. It's all the grace of God in fulfilling what he started. That's his faithfulness. And so in the same way I believe he's going to fulfill what he started in Israel is the same way I feel about myself. I know that God will fulfill it and see it to an end, because that's the faithful God that we serve. And I believe that about anybody that has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And I hope that's what people pull out of this book, is that they see the big umbrella of God's faithfulness.
This is just such a beautiful story. And it's so great, too, that you do have that all lined out in this book, Israel Always, because how it aligns with God's word, the Bible. And we can just see it all through the Bible. And I hope, listeners who are listening now, that you really take a good look at the Old Testament along with the New Testament, because it's so connected. And all of the things talked about in the Old Testament, how they are fulfilled in the New Testament. And it just gives us so much what to look forward to as believers in Christ Jesus. Amen. Yeah. I want to thank you so much, Chris, for being here and just shedding so much light on this. And I appreciate you.
Donna, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yes, this has been A Passion for Christ. I'm Donna Rush. We've been speaking with Chris Kotulka. He is author of the book Israel Always. And you can also hear him Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on 99.5 KKLA. If you want to find out more about the Friends of Israel, you can go to FOI.org. And about his book, Israel Always, go to FOI.org/Israel Always. I'm Donna Rush. Thanks so much for listening to A Passion for Christ here on 99.5 KKLA. I invite you to join me weekday mornings for SoCal's Morning Rush, 5 to 10 a.m. Monday through Friday. I hope to encourage and uplift you with God's Word and, instill a few silly stories here and there with you as well to start your day off right. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to A Passion for Christ, sponsored by 99.5 KKLA. Tune in again next week at this same time for another intimate glimpse at what God is stirring in the hearts of Southern California's pastors, here on A Passion for Christ.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.